Friends, now in this chapter, we are going to discuss about digital banking regulations and compliance. Digital banking, which plays a very vital role in current days in banking industry or in the payment structure industries. So, understanding the thorough regulations related to the digital banking and also its compliance from the regulatory perspective is forming a very important part under this chapter, right? So our objective will be to understand what is the regulatory architecture of governing this digital banking in India. It consists of explanation of the KYC, AML, CFT, and also understand the grievances redressal forms, then cooling off period and multi-lender platform regulations. This strong authentication mandate of Reserve Bank of India 2025 includes the device binding and tokenization as well as biometric and also other compliance requirement that also we are going to discuss. So, considering these objectives, our presentation will focus on KYC, AML and CFT guidelines for digital banking, then data privacy and consent architecture as well as account aggregator, then regulation of digital lending 2025, then authentication mechanism as well as consumer protection framework and compliance governance and reporting in digital banking. With the view of this, we are discussing under digital banking the very important regulations which are governing every aspects of digital ecosystem, which includes the remote customer onboarding process, then anti-money laundering controls, data privacy and consent architecture, digital lending governance, etc. And we will start one by one to understand in better. So first we will see the KYC, AML and CFT guidelines in digital banking. Because, see, digital banking is not a normal banking where here everything is controlled automatically, right? Therefore, online, or normally you use the word online. So, technically, without human intervention, how these KYC, AML and CFT guidelines are to be complied with as per the regulator's requirement, that is important. So, certain regulation, that is KYC regulation in digital banking, we have to follow first, which consists of digital KYC ensures that customers can be onboarded remotely without compromising the security and identity verification. RBI has approved several forms of the KYC for digital banking, and these KYC forms consist of Aadhaar, eKYC, Video KYC, that is VCIP or Video Based Consumer Identification Process, then CKYC, that is Central KYC, or Aadhaar Offline KYC, OTP Based eKYC, Limited KYC, and ReKYC in digital banking. So, this is regarding the KYC. Now, AML. Anti-money laundering requirement consists as per the PMLA 2002, RBI KYC Master Direction and FIU IND reporting requirements consist of customer due diligence, that is CDD, transaction monitoring and reporting requirement under FIU IND when there is a suspicious transaction report, right? Then cash transaction report also for cash deposit without withdrawal or withdrawal above rupees 10 lakh. Then non-profit organization transaction report, that is NTR, and cross-border wire transfer report, as well as enhanced due diligence has to be undertaken, right? CFT is combating the financing of terrorism. Combating the financing of terrorism is a CFT, and its requirement for preventing digital channel from being used for terrorist financing. It's a key requirements of screening the customers against the UN and domestic sanction list. Then immediate freezing the account of the designated individuals, reporting suspicious transaction, monitoring inflow and outflow from high-risk geographies. Importance of the KYC, AML and CFT in digital banking covers. Now you know what is KYC in digital banking, what is AML in digital banking, what is CFT in digital banking, how it controls and how it is important as far as digital banking is concerned. Now, after understanding that, let us understand its importance. Its importance is to, first, all three, KYC, AML, CFT, prevention of identity theft, reduce fraud risk, compliance with the global FATF standard, greatest trust in digital channels, strengthening the national security, and discipline the digital lending practices, financial stability across the system. Now, coming down to understand the data privacy consent architecture, data privacy consent architecture and account aggregator. These are very important because in the Data Personal Data Protection Act 2023, this is a comprehensive data protection law and it applies to the banks, NBFCs, fintechs, payment entities and all the digital financial service providers. Therefore, understand the core principles of the DPDTA that is applicable to the banks. And the core principles are consent-based data processing, purpose limitation, data minimization, storage limitation, accuracy of personal data, secure data processing, customer rights, third-party accountability, and incident reporting. The consent architecture is next one. Under this, it is ensured that the customer have full visibility and the control over how the banks use their personal and financial data. So, the principles of RBI approved consent architecture consist of informed consent, granular consent, revocable consent, time-bound consent, dashboard access, auditability, as well as prohibition and dark patterns. As far as customer consent flow requirement is concerned, bank must ensure all the digital channels should follow the standardized consent law, standardized consent flow. Now, account aggregator. Who is account aggregator and what is the function? One of the India's most advanced digital financial infrastructure, that is account aggregator. That is, this is the framework which enables the secure consent-based sharing customers' financial data across the institution. What is account aggregator? Account aggregator is commonly known as AA and is an RBI-licensed NBFC. RBI-licensed NBFC, account aggregator. And this facilitates secure digital data sharing and customer-controlled financial information exchange. No storage of the data, and account aggregator does not see, store, or process the data. It only encrypts the data, transfers, and delivers the data based on the explicit customer consent. Now, key participants in account aggregator ecosystem. Entities which are participating are FIDO, that is Financial Information Data Owner. Its role is bank, NBFC, mutual fund, insurance and entities holding customer data. Then FIUs, that is Financial Information Users, for the lenders, wealth managers, bank needing the customer data. And AA, that is account aggregator, that is consent manager and secured conduit, and customers, that is data owner of full control. Now, benefits of account aggregator framework for retail banking. There are several benefits of account aggregator framework. Number one, faster and accurate credit underwriting. Number two, lower documentation burden. Number three, consent-based financial data informacy. And number four, risk-based lending personalization and better financial inclusion. Along with the risk, there are certain challenges also in implementing the data privacy in account aggregator framework. These challenges consist of customer awareness gap, legal system integration issue, high cyber security burden, need for consent management, and that is required in constantly. Then ensuring the fintech partner compliance, data mapping, then prevention of misuse of the data for profiling. These are some of the challenges. Now, regulations of digital lending 2025. These directions are issued by RBI, and this regulation framework is aimed to ensure only the RBI regulated entities undertaking lending. This is for digital lending I am talking about, right? Now, transparency in pricing, charges and terms prevents mis-selling and predatory trading, as well as predatory lending, as well as the harassment of the data exploitation. Now, the key definition of RELSP and DLA. RELSP DLA means what? RE means regulatory. This RELSP clarity is required to be provided in respect of the digital lending. Then regulated entity is key definitions of regulated entity. A regulated entity is financial institution which is regulated by RBI that can undertake the lending activities. No one other than these can lend to the general public. Then lending service provider. Who can be a lending service provider other than the banker or banker? It will be a third party service provider. It can be often fintech which supports the regulated entity. And digital lending app, that is DLA. So DLA is a mobile or web-based application used by regulated entity or lending service provider to offer the loan digitally, includes the apps of the banks, NBFC and third-party fintech apps. This is RELSP and DLA, that is regulated entity, lending service provider and digital lending app. Now, multi-lender platform. Multi-lender platform is that platform where the different regulatory entities compete or collaborate to offer the credit. So, regulatory expectation is this, that the clear disclosure of which regulatory entity is sanctioning the loan. Transparent co-lending and multi-lender structure. No hidden charges and eligibility of the balance sheet recognition must be matched in contracted regulatory entity exposure. Now, authentication mechanism. How the loan is to be authenticated or anything to be authenticated under regulatory guidelines. To strengthen the security and digital payments, no, the customer authentication. RBI has introduced enhanced authentication mandate in 2025. RBI says the customer strong authentication is very much required, and this framework consists of strong customer authentication, multi-factor risk-based authentication, sensitive digital transactions per se. This strong authentication is required. RBI mandates the authentication, and that must be based on at least two of the following. Which are following two? Either number one, something the customer knows. Strong authentication, that is something that customer knows. What customer knows? Customer knows his own password, PIN or passcode. Something the customer has. What customer has? He has a mobile device, he has token, he has SIM or hardware key. And something the customer is, He himself is a biometric, fingerprint, face, etc. Either of these two should be combined. Either password or device or fingerprint or whatever it may be. Any of these two of the three should be used for authentication. Then mandatory two-factor authentication. Mobile banking transactions, internet banking, card not present, online card transaction, UPI payment, etc. Prepaid wallet above certain threshold comes under mandatory two-factor authentication. Device binding requirement consists of the digital transactions that are tied up to the specific device registered with the bank. Then tokenization of the cards and virtual cards. Tokenization replaces the actual card number with unique algorithm generated token that is useless to fraudsters. So biometric authentication, fingerprint, face, etc. Biometric authentication is now a core part of digital security. Now, risk-based authentication. How risk-based authentication happens? Risk-based authentication adjusts the security level based on the transaction risk. Banks must evaluate device risk score, IP location anomalies, then behavior biometric continuous authentication consists of adoption of the behavioral analytic, including how the device is held, typing speed, swipe pattern, geolocation patterns, etc. The customer awareness and best practices consist of RBI's mandate, protecting PIN password, avoiding public Wi-Fi for banking, and identifying the phishing links, reporting fraud immediately, etc. Now, consumer protection framework. Consumer protection framework for digital banking. For digital banking consists of principal consumer protections. In digital banking is a fair treatment, transparency, and privacy. These three principles are core principles of digital banking. Along with this, there are several other also, that is security, grievance redressal, accountability, and empowerment that can be provided. And these principles guide all the regulation in digital consumer protection. Now, zero liability and limited liability framework. Zero liability means to safeguard consumer against unauthorized electronic transactions. Okay, RBI introduced a zero liability and limited liability policy. So, zero liability policy consists of unauthorized transaction occurs due to bank or system breach. Then customer has a zero liability because it doesn't have his fault. Then customer notifies the bank promptly. And third party breach occurs without customer involvement. If this is happened, then customer would not have any liability to pay when the fraud happens. Now, limited liability. Under certain situation, there will be limited liability to the customer. That is partially. And that is by fault. See, liability applies when the customer delays in reporting. Then security lapses. Weak password, right, or PIN handling. These are the responsibility of the customer. But fraudster, if he use that means customer is personally liable for that. But it is considered as a partially risk is taken by the bank, partially risk is taken by customer. Now, fair lending and non-coercive recovery practices consist of certain principles of no harassment, threat, or intimidation to the customers. Recovery calls should happen only between 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. No contacting customer friends or relatives from phone. All collection agents must officially trained and registered. All the recovery communication must be identified the lender, okay, of the regulatory entity. Then LSP, FinTech, or RE is approved practices, and transparency in digital product, bank and fintechs must provide the clear disclosure. RBI Integrated Ombudsman Scheme. Now, this is a unified grievances redressal platform, data privacy consumer protection under DPDPA 2023 and RBI Digital Lending Forms. Now, consumer protection in UPI, cards and digital payments. How this is protected? Consumers are protected if under the UPI, right? UPI protection, card protection and wallet protections are important because customers should aware that the digital literacy, which consists of safe use of PIN and password, identifying the phishing and fraud message, safe digital behaviors, reporting some of the suspicious activity, using authorized DLA, and digital literacy reduces the fraud exposure. Now, coming down to understand something about the compliance grievances and reporting in digital banking. Objective of digital banking compliance is nothing but it ensures the adherence to the RBI regulations and laws, prevent the cyber fraud and data misuse, ensure correct implementation of authentication and security measures, and protect the consumer interest and privacy. It also ensures the ethically fintech partnership, maintain the operational continuity, and promote transparency in reporting. Governance structure consists of a board directors, board of directors, then IT strategy committee (ITSC), then risk management committee, digital banking governance committee, and the information security and cyber security team, as well as compliance department. Now, that is the team who takes part in protecting the interest of the consumer. And the key regulatory requirement for digital compliance is KYC, AML, because banks must comply with the regulations and spanning multiple, the various domination, KYC, AML, CFT regulation, digital lending regulation, cyber security and IT governance regulation, data privacy compliance, payment system compliance, outsourcing and fintech partnership compliance, etc. So many compliance requirements are there as far as the digital banking is concerned. Now, regulatory reporting. This reporting to RBI consists of cyber incidents, fraud reporting, digital transaction data, right? Like UPI, IMPS, NEFT volumes, digital lending programs, KYC, AML compliance status, outsourcing risk reports, etc. Reporting to FIUIND is also very essential for the suspicious transaction, that is STR. Then cash transaction reports, that is CTR, cross-border wire transfer, that is CBWTR, and NPO transaction report. And next one will be the public disclosure, that is Pillar 3, Basel norm. Banks must disclose the risk exposure, capital adequacy, risk management processes, cybersecurity governance, and operational risk. Challenges in digital banking consist of rapid regulatory changes, cybersecurity vulnerability, vendor oversight complexity, data privacy, legacy system, limited skill, workforce, and rising the sophistication of the fraud. So these are some of the challenges that digital banking also facing in respect of compliances. So with this, we complete our discussion on this digital banking compliance, monitoring, etc. Thank you very much.